Coming to you live from Madison Square Garden, this is the Long and Late Movie Show, America's movie podcast. I am Russell Hainline, a.k.a. Frank Longo, joined as always by my partner in crime, Monsieur Leighton Gordon. Bonjour, Leighton.
Bonjour, Russell. It's great to be here, unlike my cohabitants here in Madison Square Garden.
Rough patch for the old Knickerbockers.
We're, as they say, playing to lose, to quote the great Mello.
All right, there you go. Some Mello quotes right up from the break there. And we've also got the lovely and talented Mishira Selkovitz. Hello.
Oh, bonsoir. I'm mad that I didn't get a French introduction from you on
bonsoir,
that one.
Bonsoir, ma chérie.
Oh, that's
and,
better.
And happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Thanksgivica.
And we've also got a special guest, as if having one lovely and talented Selkovitz on the podcast wasn't enough. We also have her brother, the lovely and talented Josh Selkovitz. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening. I think you guys are lovely, too.
Well, stop it. We can't all be Selkovitz. Selkovi?
Selkovixen.
I just like to call them Selkies. I don't know.
Selkies is good.
Selkies, yeah. Selkie was my nickname in middle school. So that's you're right on there, Leighton.
Selkie. Okay. Before you take a selfie, do you yell Selkie?
I'm gonna yell Selkie.
We will
selfie.
Now.
Selkie selfie. All right. Well, we have so many movies to talk about this week. We might as well jump right in. Let's jump right in with the movie that the Selkies have seen, and I have also seen Homefront, the Jason Statham movie. And if you thought that you didn't want to see this movie, whatever you were thinking, rethink it. Shira, could you give a quick synopsis as to what happens in the film? I will be sure to acknowledge your synopsis
summary,
of the setup.
Yeah. We all know how sensitive I am about that.
And then I would love to hear your thoughts.
So I'll do my best to sum this up. Essentially, Jason Statham is an undercover. I'm sorry. Now I'm trying to remember his name. Damn it. Broker.
Phil Broker.
Phil Broker is an undercover DEA agent working on busting up some meth dealers. And
do you remember his undercover name?
Yes, it was Josh.
Dalton.
Thank
and he has long, flowing hair as Dalton.
I thought that was a nice nod to Swayze and Roadhouse myself. so, yeah, he is an undercover DE agent. Some shit goes down, and basically they find out the biker gang meth dealers find out that he's a rat. He has to move out of his place of dwelling to a town in Louisiana. Him and his daughter, he moves them away to get to safety so that he can't be hunted down by them. And trouble still finds him anyway in the form of Kate Bosworth and her big bro, James Franco. And they kind of terrorize him and his daughter, Statham and his daughter. And yeah, so I think that's probably the worst synopsis ever. You don't have to give me.
Do you remember Bosworth's name in the movie?
Cassie.
Do you remember her last name?
Clum.
Cassie Clum. And Gator Bodine.
There's only one person who could have written this screenplay, and that's Sylvester Stallone with names like that.
I don't know. The Hunger Games lady could have written that.
That's very true. yeah, so what did I think? I mean, we were certainly laughing our asses off for most of the film. I thought the action scenes were great. The fighting scenes were awesome. Jason Statham kicking everyone's ass rules. I would watch an hour and 40 minutes of that any day of the week.
Monday?
Especially on Monday, actually.
What about Tuesday?
I would do it on Tuesday.
Wednesday?
Confirmed.
Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. What about Friday?
Ooh, yes. Going to go with yes.
Saturday?
Without question.
Here's the stumper. Sunday.
even on Sunday.
So any day of the week. Nice.
Any day of the week.
We've covered it.
Yeah, we have. So yeah, I did feel like most of these characters didn't have a whole lot to do. There's an altercation between Jason Statham's daughter and Kate Bosworth's son, in which the little girl beats up the little boy, and it could have been very easily squashed, but Kate Bosworth sends James Franco, her meth-dealing brother, after the family to kind of terrorize them and scare them, and James Franco kind of can't let it go. And then it even gets to a point where, like, Kate Bosworth's kid goes to the little girl's birthday party, and she seems to be cool with it and over it, but James Franco kind of keeps on going because he sees an opportunity for himself to become a big-time meth dealer by ratting out where Broker is. I don't know. I thought it kind of, like, started to jump the shark towards the end, but I still enjoyed it. It's not as good as, like, Escape Plan or Olympus Has Fallen. It is like one of those movies that I'll watch again on TBS on a Saturday afternoon or whatever. So I had a good time watching it.
Josh, what about you?
Yeah, I think Shira nailed it with the TBS Sunday afternoon. I thought it was a throwback in every sense of the word. I mean, when I saw Stallone's name come up at the beginning, I knew that this was going to be that kind of movie, and it didn't let me down. Typical 80s. There's a simple villain, a simple plot. You got great action scenes. The one big problem I have with this movie is that you've got a guy named Gator Bodine who's got a giant gator tattoo on his forearm, and there's not one gator fight scene in the entire movie. There should have been a gator ripping somebody's arm off. Other than that, I thought it was a very enjoyable film. There were a ton of plot inconsistencies, which I think just added to the fun. You know, you don't want a movie like that to make too much sense. So I thought it was great. It's a great popcorn film, and I think the plot inconsistencies made it even more enjoyable.
The only plot inconsistency that I thought was weird that they brought it up and then never really brought it up again was that James Franco is himself a rat for the police.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And so, like, it's weird that he is so gung-ho to turn in a rat to people who hate rats. And I was, like, certain that they were going to find out that he is also a rat.
Well, actually, we were talking about that after the movie, how James Franco buys the sheriff that whiskey, and he, like,
yeah,
he, like, makes it a point to pour it out. So I thought that was the – Josh actually is the one who said this. He said that was the sheriff saying, like, I'm not in his pocket or I'm not, you know – whatever the hell you said, Josh. I don't know. I was only listening.
Yeah, that was right.
Okay. Whatever you're drinking, re-drink it.
Re-drink it. Yeah, and I think that another funny part of it was 40 minutes into the movie, we were still debating whether or not Phil Broker was from England and had an English accent. Because it seemed like at the beginning of some sentences or even words, he didn't have an English accent. And then at the end, he was, you know, it's like he was in Snatch.
Yeah,
he definitely has the accent the whole time. I mean, talk about throwback. Remember, like, every Arnold movie, nobody ever brings up that he's not American?
Like, right, ever. Like, in that small town, that would definitely be noticed.
Yeah, like, nobody says when they're kind of like, you know, Phil Broker, who is this guy? No one's like, okay, well, first of all, he's British. You should know that. Right? You're going to recognize him by his very, very notably British voice.
He had a regular accent at the very, very beginning when he was talking to Danny T.
When he was Dalton?
He was Dalton.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't even detect that notable an American accent then either. Like, the only time I remember Statham busting out the American accent is in Parker when he's got the Texas drawl.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm from San Antonio, Texas. Like, that's the only Statham American that, like, I can recall. Like, everything else, he's always got that thing where he's kind of talking like this.
That's pretty good.
Whatever you're thinking.
Don't make me request an Al Pacino impression again, because it's all I can think about it since the last episode.
Whatever you're thinking. I'll just throw in, I thought the movie was awesome. I enjoyed it. I wasn't really laughing in the sense. I wasn't laughing at the movie. I was just enjoying it. It's got that, like, good, like, trashy rednecks fighting each other vibe that I love. Franco is legitimately good in the movie. He's not playing it, like, over the top he's not making it, like, an ironic commentary on the bad guy role in action movies. Like, he's doing it for real, and he's very good. Frank Grillo is very good in, like, his couple of scenes, as one would expect. Statham, I've maintained that Statham is actually a really good actor, and he's got some, like, nice moments in there. Kate Bosworth and Winona Ryder also both, like, given me awesome, like, trashy hillbilly shit.
Yeah.
Not enough of them. Like, Kate Bosworth was giving, like, the best performance in this movie, and how often can one say that?
I completely agree. They had nothing to do, either one of them.
I really liked that, like, big forehead dude that's Kate Bosworth's husband.
He's like, can you please stop giving that shit to my wife?
I did think that was, like, another thing that was going to pay off. I kept waiting for him to punch Gator. You know what I mean? Like, I kept waiting for, like, the plot payoff on Gator, like, you know, like, belittling him so much.
Yeah, I felt like Gator was an underdeveloped character, especially when you consider that you have a guy like James Franco with incredible acting range playing him. I think he's got incredible acting range. I'm a big Franco fan.
I don't know. I liked just sort of the mystery, the implication. You know, like, not having to develop it too much. Like, at the beginning, you know, like, he does seem genuine when he says, like, some of these things, like, I never meant for this to happen. And, like, stuff like that. Like, he seems sincere. And he also sort of seems sincere in regards to, like, when at the beginning when he's, like, telling those kids to get out of his town or whatever. Very sincere, even though he is a meth cook, about, like, not wanting his town to be, like, filled with trash.
I got the one foot in, one foot out of the life of crime vibe. I think he did that well. And even when they were doing the deal and the biker club, Cyrus from the Outcast said that he was taking Winona and Franco tried to push back. I think that you could see that there was actual conflict within his character there, that he wasn't sure if what he was doing was right. And he kind of had like this mixed up ambition that I think that a guy like that's where I think Franco shined. But
yeah, I like that. I don't know that I would have liked it if he had gotten like more of a backstory or something more complex.
That's interesting.
Other than just the like sort of implication that he's able to do just because he's a good actor. The action was all like fine. It was good enough. It was what I wanted. I mean, no more, yeah, no
not
less.
Enough.
They could have gone more deep fried and insane, but
less horseback riding scenes.
Yeah. So I mean,
Jason Statham, father of the year, by the way, right? Is he the best dad ever?
Yeah, there was that. Some of those bits at the beginning. Although I was when Statham is. Statham really wants to pump that gas.
Yeah, oh my God. He does. He wants a
he
full
was
tank.
So determined.
Like, it was so funny that he went and swallowed his pride and apologized to those people. And then, like, when those guys come up and are like, you're done pumping gas at 1284 or whatever. And he's like,
2 gallons.
Yeah, he's like, no, I am not done. And they're like, you want to think about what you're doing before you turn that gas back on. And after he just went out of his way to apologize and to tell everybody that, like, he's sorry, he still reaches over and turns the gas back on. It's like, you know what? You can make me apologize to people when they don't need to be apologized to, but you stay the fuck away from my gas tank.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. His whole mission about being in that town is to lay low and stay off the grid. But if you mess with him pumping his gas, he doesn't care.
You'll abandon that code.
Yeah.
Whatever you're pumping, repump
pump
it.
Pump again. Yeah. Repump it.
That's so never going to get old.
So how many kernels would you give Homefront?
I'll give it 3 out of 4.
Josh.
Fun action, good stuff.
It's out of 4 kernel scale?
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'll give it 2.5 out of 4.
Yeah, it's right on the line between 2.5 and 3 for me. I'd probably settle with 2.5. But I still really enjoyed it. Like, it's totally my wheelhouse. Like, and so I acknowledge that it's the type of 2.5 that I'm going to enjoy a lot more than other people may enjoy it.
It's definitely if you think you're going to enjoy it, you will movie.
Yes, that's like one of two definitions of what a 2.5 kernel movie should be. Like,
did
either
anybody
the best possible of, you know, like this type of thing. Like, if you like it, you will like it. If you don't like it, you're not going to like it. Emily Jones would not have liked Homefront.
Josh, Emily Jones is Russell's girlfriend.
I know that from Russell's Vine.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yes, from
I know, their whole backstory. I know everything. I follow their relationship very creepily from a distance.
Very nice. Very nice.
You're probably not the only one. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's move on to the next movie. The next movie is Frozen. Mm-hmm. I'll hit the summary here just in very brief. The Elsa. And what's the other princess? Anna?
Anna.
Yeah, yes. So Elsa and Anna are two princesses. Elsa's the older one, and she's sort of the heir to the throne as queen. But she has magic powers of freezing things. And Anna, at a very early age, Elsa accidentally zaps her, and it's bad. And so they sort of lock Elsa away and try and teach her to keep her powers within. And Anna, you know, is left without a friend or whatever. And she's very curious and silly. And Elsa is sort of defined by her iciness, because she's having to, like, hold everything in. There's a big opening of the gates on Elsa's coronation. Something goes wrong. Elsa runs away. And so Anna has to go off and find her. There's also this little subplot about how Anna has just met the man of her dreams on her first day outside of the gates. Then she has to, like, run away. And so she has to find Elsa with this other dude who's sort of a very slobbish but charming fella, and so you sort of see where the plot may turn from there. Linton, what did you think of Frozen?
I thought it was very good. I thought it has a nice, cute story about sisterhood relationships that I thought was very effective, and it definitely it definitely was very touching. I thought that the songs were pretty good. I'd like to single out two songs in particular. I think the best song in the movie is the one where Elsa embraces her powers. It's a song called "Let It Go." Russell, I don't know if you have the song, but maybe eventually you'll play it. But "Let It Go."
Sing it.
No, I don't like to do anything.
Do you want somebody to sing it? I'll sing it.
I'd prefer Russell sing the other song that I would like to spotlight as being an excellent song, which is "In Summer," which is the Josh Gad song. That's Josh Gad plays Olaf, a snowman that Elsa's snow powers brings to life. A lot of the songs are very engaging and funny. Those two are probably the best, but I think that the songs are really only in the first half to three quarters of the movie, and then once the movie needs to start getting plotty, they sort of drop the songs for the most part, and it gets all, you know, predictable with the with who the villain is. Though I do think that they have a very unique and touching ending that puts a twist on the concept of true love that I felt was that I did not see coming, but I probably should have. And I was like, "Oh my god!" I was definitely tearing up when I saw the movie's definition of true love. That I definitely would recommend people see this movie.
Yeah, I'd recommend.
And also,
you keep going.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I just think that the movie was also just looks really good. I mean, like, the shots were really nice and well animated also.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. The music was great. I'd like to single out the song between Anna and her love interest, "Love is an Open Door," towards the beginning. That song is phenomenal. Loved that song. The big sort of establishing the girls song for the first time in forever is also really good. The music by the Lopez's, who name drop I babysat for summers ago.
Heyo.
The music is super awesome. Bobby Lopez did Avenue Q and the Book of Mormon. And Kristen Anderson Lopez did a delightful a cappella musical that was off Broadway for a while called In Transit. And, yeah, they are the real deal. They're awesome. And if you get the soundtrack, as I have, you can hear them singing some of the songs themselves as husband and wife, which is just delightful. The animation is great. The sister stuff is very great. It's definitely sort of it's not as tight in terms of plotting as most sort of Disney movies is. Like Tangled sort of has a very, very tightly plotted film. This one doesn't really have a villain so clearly defined. You know, and this one doesn't really have, you know, the hero is the hero. You know, you've got sort of a hero, and then you've got the ice princess, the snow queen, as it were, who is got her own thing going on, and she's kind of bad in ways, but good in other ways.
She was never really bad. She misunderstood.
You can see the potential for... You can see the impact that she has on the community at large, and you can see at times she starts to trend towards a dangerous level of power. In terms of, like, people are trying to bother her, and so she goes to extreme lengths to make sure she is not bothered.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, so it doesn't, like, fit into a mold as carefully as one generally expects. I just rewatched The Princess and the Frog yesterday. So, I mean, but I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's an all bad thing. It just makes it sort of interesting in the sense that you don't have a villain and you don't have, like, a big fight scene at the end and, you know, the type of stuff that one would expect in a film. But, the music is great. The relationships are great. There are definitely a couple of surprises that I did not see coming, including the finale and how it unfolds. I thought the sort of big climactic surprise was awesome, and it really, really took me aback. And, yeah, generally I think anyone that enjoys these types of movies will really enjoy it. I did wish there were more songs, but there are way more songs in this than there are in, like, probably any other Disney musical in a very long time. Like, there are like seven or eight songs.
The thing about it is that within the first 15 minutes, I think there's like four or five songs. The movie starts off with a song, you know, the romance song, they were hitting you with songs at the very beginning, like left and right.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, there's like a good 30-minute stretch where there are no 30 to 45-minute stretch where there are no songs. So it was kind of disappointing to see, because the songs are that good.
Yeah, there are 9 songs, which normally, like, Disney musicals just have 5 or 6. Now, some of them are, like, shorter songs, but there are some. I really did kind of want a finale song. There's no finale song, which is a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there was a finale song in Tangled either, now that I'm thinking about it. And I'm also sick of these titles, Tangled and Frozen. Just call them Rapunzel and the Snow Queen or whatever.
I know. Get over it.
I forget who sent out the tweet, but somebody sent out a tweet that said, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Sleeping Beauty, if released today, would have been called Trapped, Buried, and Roofied. Which I thought was pretty good.
Sorry that my phone's ringing, guys. I'll mute it.
Strong recommendation for me as well. Leighton, what kernel rating would you give Frozen?
I'm going to give it 3. I'm going to give it 3 kernels.
I'm going to go farther. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Ooh, okay.
Strong film, nice. Strong Disney entry, especially if you like musicals. If you like musicals, I was in bliss for the first 30 minutes of this. It does fall off from there a little bit, but, man, the music at the beginning is phenomenal.
I mean, that Demi Lovato Let It Go song had me, I was like, whoa, okay.
Well, and Demi Lovato joined at the
Josh,
end
there. And the Josh Gad one was on point also.
The Josh Gad one, yes, and... they sort of shoehorn in another, like, funny song towards the end. It's really, like, the last song in the thing. But it's a good one, too, even though it does sort of bring the plot to a screeching halt for, like, a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Fixer Upper song, Leighton.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's funny.
It is.
Yeah, but it
I could have done without that one. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's Frozen. Speaking of children's movies, Leighton and I also saw Old Boy.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Old Boy.
Now, did either of you Leighton, you have seen the original or no?
I have not seen the original.
Neither one of you have seen the original, right?
No.
Correct.
Okay.
So I actually did not know what the plot of Russell, you knew what the twist
of
it.
Oh, you didn't know anything about it whatsoever?
I knew it was a Korean movie that had some kind of messed up twist. That's all
I knew. I knew what the twist was, and I knew there was a big hammer fight scene. Those were the two things that I knew.
I did not know about the hammer fight scene. I don't even know. I tried to describe this movie to my brother, and he was like, I don't get it. And I even included all the spoilers that I'm not going to include, and he still didn't. He was like, that movie does not sound crazy to me.
So the setup is a doozy. We meet a drunk sort of oaf of a man, Joe Doucette, and one night he finds himself, when he wakes up, locked in a room with no explanation of why he's locked there, and he's there for 20 years. And then one day he is released, and so when he is released, his goal is to sort of find out who it was that locked him up and why he was locked up. And so that's a good premise.
That's a good premise. And also, for those of you who don't know, or for those of you who haven't seen the original, it was a part of a revenge trilogy by this director. None of the movies were related. None of the characters were the same. A lot of the same actors, but it was a part of a revenge trilogy, just in case that's useful information.
All right. So, Leighton, what did you think of Old Boy?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was anything special, I thought, but I did think that twist was bananas. When I saw that, I don't even know how to describe it. I think the movie looks good. There's some good performances by Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Olsen. It was trying to be a detective kind of thriller kind of thing, but that with some really good action scenes, and especially the one that takes place with the hammer. I really enjoyed that entire sequence where he's fighting like maybe 10, 15 guys, and then the music kind of cues with it. Then the scene takes a break and it keeps on going. I really enjoyed that scene, but the twist at the very end was very, I almost want to say it was very predictable. But I still kind of enjoyed the movie, but not incredibly much.
You thought the twist was predictable?
Because I saw the trailer. The trailers sort of lead you down that path, and I wish I had not seen the trailers for this movie, because then it would not have been as obvious to me.
Yeah, I mean, I also thought that the twist at the end, even though I knew what it was, I did think that to some degree your hand was held. And it sort of led you there in a very clear fashion, so that by the time you get to the ending, say the final 30 minutes, like, I'd be surprised if you weren't able to sort of figure out.
Well, it really became clear to me when two characters are being videotaped having sex, and I said, clearly right. There's some
yes.
And then you see that another character is watching them having sex, and you're like, oh, well, why is he doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
And the look on his face and sort of, yeah, I mean, and then especially when you find out who the guy is and the why, and mm-hmm. you sort of learn the nature of the why, it becomes very, very clear. It's a very 2+2=4 at that point.
Yeah, that takes place about, you know, probably like 25 to 30 minutes before the ending that you see them have sex, and you're just like, well, I think I know where it's going, but I don't think they would go that crazy.
And I think you learn the nature of why a dude was locked up for 20 years. I think you learn that even before they have sex.
You do learn it before. I mean, at least in the original you do.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah.
God, I'm so disappointed to hear that. Now I'm glad I didn't see it.
Well, I mean,
it looks good.
Maybe, I can't speak for everyone because I knew what the twist was going into it, so I might have been looking for it more.
I mean, I remember my world just like I was reeling when I first saw this movie, I still remember how I felt when I saw it for the first time. Because I just did not see it coming at all.
When you saw the original, had it been advertised to you as like...
Yeah, you're probably right. I never saw a trailer for this Korean movie, you know?
It's a good point. I think it's one thing when like you go into a movie and you know, oh, there is an ending that will shock you and rock you to your core. You know, like, because then when you have that expectation, it's like, all right, let me try and figure it out. Like, even if you don't want to figure it out, you still, there's a human part of you that is just like, let me see if I can, like, sort of decipher.
Ruin this for myself. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just sort of a human response. So I don't really know how they could have made it any different. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they did what they had to do. I mean, like, I don't think that I did not like the movie as much as Leighton. But in terms of, you know, the reveal of the surprise, I don't know. I mean, I just... I think they did what they had to do, which was, at the end, they draw it out. But they draw it out, like, sort of like the scary thing. So it's not like something that pops out at you, but you see it from a mile away, and you're slowly walking towards it.
Yeah, yeah. They give you some time to really think about. Because the end is a long walk down a hallway, down some steps, and, you know, a lot of walking. Like, maybe, like, you know, 3 minutes of walking. So they give you some time to think about what's happened in the movie so far.
Yeah, and you have a lot of time to think even before that. I mean, they really, really draw it out. But I kind of like that choice. I don't think there would have been any way for them to have concealed it, especially it being a remake.
There were some things that kind of bothered me. There's one thing that kind of bothered me about the movie, and is me overthinking the movie, is that they spend a lot of time in the movie looking on Google, you know, for who whatever character is. And then there's a big plot point of the movie is them seeing someone's name and then going to the school that he went to. And I said, but instead of, instantly Googling him on their phone, they choose to actually go to the school when they could have just looked him up and see who it is. Plot solved. But they choose to, you know, spend 30 minutes going to a closed down school to investigate that stuff.
Well, I think that they, God, why am I defending this movie? I think that they described that.
There's at least
too,
four because, or five times where they
Google
people's
name. Yeah, but I think that they
name.
Said, like, we looked on Google and, like, that's odd. Everything has been, like, removed about this person or whatever.
What are you talking about? Michael Imperioli Googles his name and figures it out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I think he remembers the incident, like, in the front of his mind more than more than Brolin does. I don't know. I thought the movie was a big old mess, frankly. I haven't seen the original, but this movie... First of all, I guess I should acknowledge that, like, this type of movie doesn't really feel like my thing. Like, the sort of seedy underbelly, like, that's not my vibe, you know? So I should just go ahead and put that out there right from the get-go. Maybe this just isn't my thing. I'll say that. It doesn't feel like a Spike Lee movie at all. That's, like, my number one beef with it. Like, if Spike Lee is going to make a remake of something, then it should feel like a Spike Lee joint still.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem with him changing things about the original, and I understand that he has changed some things. I went back and sort of read some of the changes, but he didn't change it tonally to the point where it felt like a Spike Lee film. Really, the only thing that's felt like a Spike Lee film, Leighton, because you're the only one that saw it, was the sort of stereotypical hotel bellboy, the African-American smiling face on the wall, who then, like, Josh Brolin sort of hallucinates about at one point. That was the only part that felt remote. And then, like, I guess because there was sort of footage of 9/11 and Katrina, and there's, like, a bit of, you know, social, like, what's going on the outside. But that stuff adds up to nothing. Like, you would expect, like, even an Inside Man, there's all sorts of social commentary, like, woven into the genre plot. And Spike Lee does none of that in this movie at all. I understand that Lee had, like, a four-hour cut at one point that he really liked. Because he's a lunatic.
He would. Yeah.
But, like, maybe that had more of the Spike Lee stuff, and then the studio cut all of it out. I don't know. but this is the first Spike Lee movie I've ever seen that does not feel like a Spike Lee movie at all. And that was my biggest problem with it. Tonally, I think it's sort of a mess. It's really funny in places, and then it's just like really kind of gross in places, and then it's like an action movie in places.
Really violent too, yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't even mind the violence. Everyone sort of hyped up the original Old Boys violence, and then this movie, I read a lot of reviews that said this movie like might be even more violent on screen than the original. But
the hallway fight scene in the original is like one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, this movie goes, so I've seen that fight scene on YouTube.
Yeah, and do you agree that it's a good one?
Yeah, I mean, like, it looks technically pretty brilliant. And then I forget what critic wrote this, but so this movie, there's a, like, it's two-tiered. He gets through that first tier, and then he has to, like, go down a floor, some stairs, and then he, like, finds more people.
To fight more.
And it's still, like, one big shot, although there is, like, a cut in one place that feels very studio-mandated. Like, I think that Spike Lee tried to make that, like, an 8-minute, 9-minute shot, whereas the first one in the original was, like, 3 minutes. But, like, maybe that's one of the problems. You know, like, why is he trying to outdo the other one so much? Like, why doesn't he just make, like, his own version? You know? I don't know.
I always thought it was a weird choice, or that he was a weird match for this movie based on his, like, aesthetic and, you know, what the movies that he makes. Do you know anything about it?
I thought he was a great match in the sense that he's the ideal candidate to make it different.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, like,
why did he pick? Did he pick this movie? Did he want to direct it?
I guess, you know, like, he always kind of has done like a one for them, one for himself kind of vibe.
So, Russell, what's the difference between, say, this and then like Inside Man or something? Like,
Inside Man is so much better than this movie. That's the first difference. Is that Inside Man is great, and this movie is kind of a mess. Inside Man is funny. The script is sharp. It delivers the genre thrills, which this movie I don't think does. It's tonally relatively consistent, which this one is not. It feels like a Spike Lee movie, which this one does not. I own Inside Man. I'm looking at it on my DVD shelf right now. You know,
hey, Russell, what about
this movie? I don't want to watch again.
What about Miracle at St. Anna?
I really liked Miracle at St. Anna. I think Miracle at St. Anna has problems, but it still feels like a Spike Lee movie at the end of the day.
Yeah, so that's what I was curious about, just listening to you talk, and I'm a big Spike Lee fan, so I think that's an interesting take. I haven't seen the movie, but I hearing that it's not like Spike Lee, when I consider a movie that wasn't like Spike Lee, I think Miracle at St. Anna is the first one that pops into my head.
Yeah, I mean, I think Miracle at St. Anna has a lot of good stuff in it. There's a lot of stuff that's sort of clunky. But, like, that movie's failings, it's funny, I just wrote about that movie for MovieMezzanine.com for their Spike Lee retrospective. I gave it a B-.
And
that movie's main problem is that it's very, very earnest, sometimes painfully so, and you really have to, like, buy into the idea of miracles, and, you know, it doesn't hold back, which I really admire, even if I don't think, like, it works all the time, and it's sort of sprawling and that sort of thing. But I still enjoy Miracle at St. Anna in the sense that it's not perfect, but it's a Spike Lee movie. It feels like a Spike Lee movie. This does not at all.
Cool.
Josh, didn't Spike Lee yell at you in college?
He did, actually. I have a good Spike Lee story.
Tell us about how he yelled at you.
Spike Lee came to my college to speak, and I don't know how he ended up in one of my seminars. So I was an English lit major, and our seminars consisted of just 7 or 8 people around a table. And Spike Lee sat down at the table. I went to Franklin Marshall. It's a small liberal arts school in Lancaster, PA. And Spike sat down at the table. It was about 7 or 8 of us. And it was a predominantly white school, but there was, I think this class was predominantly African-American, and I was one of the only white kids in there. And we had prepared some questions to ask him, and the subject that we were talking about at the time was hip-hop. And I had a question. I was a big Beastie Boys fan growing up, so my question was about the role the Beastie Boys played in hip-hop, but I got really nervous when he got in the room, and I think that I said something more along the lines of that I thought the Beastie Boys invented hip-hop. And Mike, who up until this point was very mild-mannered, did not even hesitate to get in my face. He raises, excuse me, sir, you don't, and then he took his 2A out and he slid it down the table to me and asked me to contact Mike D and ask him if he thought that white people invented hip hop. The true story was intense. Yeah.
Get on my 2-way. Get on my chirpy Sprint phone.
And I actually,
can you
I wonder if
now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. I'd call him and ask him what he thinks, Russell, but I don't think he'd take my call.
I thought you were going to say you asked him, is there anything you can do to help the cause, and that he said no. Yeah, so, I mean, and Brolin is fine. Olsen, I mean, not to be like that piggish guy who, like, notes these sort of things, but an Elizabeth Olsen nude scene as someone who has, like, a big crush on Elizabeth Olsen.
She's gorgeous, yeah.
She's
nothing
so beautiful.
That I have a problem with. For people who like Josh Brolin nude scenes, Josh Brolin is naked in this.
Well, isn't she naked in Martha Marcy May Marlene too?
Yeah, but that's sort of like rape scene naked.
It's a different boner.
Yeah,
it's hard to
appreciate the aesthetics of the female form when, you know, a male is forcibly humping her.
That's a very, very good point.
Quote me on that. That's a quote.
Does Brolin hang dong or do you just see his butt?
We don't get any clearly defined dong. We definitely at like one or two points get like sort of shadowy mass.
Do you get like a dong? Yeah, like a shadowy dong profile.
I wouldn't go so far as profile because there is no silhouette. There's no silhouette going on. No. There's no dong silhouette whatsoever. But we do get like he's standing at like a dresser, and because I was sitting there going like, is a guy of Brolin's, you know, stature in terms of like being a very mainstream actor, is he going to hang brain in this joint? You know, so I was like, I was pretty impressed because it definitely seemed like it was going to happen, but we never like really see, you know, kind of like a Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction, you know what I mean? Where there's sort of like, there's like, oh, did we see it? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
You're like, hoping so, but in the end of the day, you know, you're only lying to yourself if you say yes.
And you sort of also get like at one point he's like crawling naked and you sort of get that like under between the legs angle where you're like, did I see a little hanging?
You're just searching for some Josh
Brolin.
I'm
always searching for dongs in the movie because I don't think dongs get fair enough billing.
I think that nudity is a totally fascinating subject, and there's a great, somebody wrote an amazing essay that basically said that nudity in movies will essentially never work. Because you are always going to sort of be aware of, like, an actor is getting naked. That there's, like, a human part of you that will always be taken out of a story to be, like, is this person about to be naked? You know what I mean? Like, I forget.
Wait a second. I don't follow that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that, like, any of, like, the great famous nudity scenes, they're not famous because, oh, it was perfect for the moment in the story or whatever, but rather they're all just famous because that person is attractive and we remember it fondly because we sort of lust after their naked parts or whatever. And that,
okay, I get it.
You know, and so, I mean, like, I can remember, honestly, like, male nude scenes are so much rarer than female nude scenes.
Yeah.
That, like, for a guy to even come close to a full frontal nude scene is, like, pretty shocking. You know?
I mean, look, remember Boogie Nights? And that wasn't even his real dong.
Right. That was Burt Reynolds' dong photoshopped onto him.
Prosthesis.
I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall, yeah.
Oh, you know, I got to, you know, can I tell that story, Shira?
Yes, please tell that story, too.
Did Jason Segel yell at you for saying that white people invented hip-hop?
He may as well have.
Weirder. So I've had two celebrity run-ins in my life, and they're both about to come up, which is, I can't even tell you how excited I am right now. This is like Thanksgivica come early. I was in Toronto, and I was in a urinal, and I was taking a leak next to
urinal?
Wait, is it Justin Siegel or Jason Siegel? What's his name?
Jason.
Yeah. So I approach the urinal. It's a two-pack, and I look next to me, and it's him, right? And you know, we two men with their dongs out. You try to keep your eyes going straight, and I try to think of something funny to say, and I ended up saying, "I don't have to look because I've already seen your penis."
Selkie.
That's actually very funny.
Selkie slam.
Yeah, that's all I got. Okay, I'll shut up for the rest of the show now. Those are my two celebrity stories.
Did he say anything?
He actually didn't react as well as you might think. He just kind of, I don't even know if I'd call it a chuckle. The chuckle would be pretty generous. But when he left, after he washed his hands, he said thanks for the laugh and left. So
well, that's kind of nice.
That's yeah, not
he
bad.
Was cool.
Yeah.
He was cool about me talking about his dick.
I've seen your dick. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes,
I've seen
that looks just like it.
I think that even like celebrity encounters when they're kind of cold, like even if they say something even remotely nice, like that gesture compared to like what they could give you.
Right.
We're pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, my John Lovitz encounter, he was clearly having a shitty day, but he still like was polite enough to like say thank you to me, even though like but me, he's just like a sour looking man.
He is. We can solve that mystery. He is a sour looking man.
I saw him at Malibu Seafood. He was eating by himself on Father's Day.
Oh my god!
No wonder he's in a sour mood.
That is
you approached him. You approached him.
No,
that
I was throwing something away, and he threw something away in the garbage can right next to me.
You were like, and, "How about this garbage?"
Well, and I didn't want to go. Like, I didn't want to turn to him and go like, "Subway, eat fresh," or whatever. You know, like, like I didn't do that, but I did turn to him and say, like, "I just want to tell you, my friends and I quote The Critic to this day.
The Critic
all the time
is the best show."
I was like, I just want you to know The Critic is amazing, and my friends and I quote it all the time. And he was like, he turned to me and he looked very sort of grumpy in his face, but he said at least, you know, that's very nice to hear, thank you. You know, and then just like immediately walked away, and then he left and he got into his like tiny little sports car with the top down and drove away.
Oh my god!
As a bunch of kids at Malibu Seafood were yelling, "Hey, hey, Saturday Night Live! Saturday Night Live!"
I love the stuff that people yell when they see celebrities. They just get so excited, and the brain shuts off, and they think of they just shout like a character at them.
Why does my guy have a New York accent when he yells?
Yeah,
that,
I was gonna ask you. Why are they all 85-year-old New York?
Hey. I'm the Fonz. Anyway, so Old Boy sucked. I really didn't like it.
Did you guys kernel it up yet?
I'm going to give it 2.5.
Oh, my God. Very generous. Very generous. I'm going to give it maybe 1.5.
Russell, maybe. Did you like that movie?
Like what movie?
Old Boy.
Old Boy, no. I did not like Old Boy. I might go so far as to say because it's the least Spike Lee of Spike Lee's movies, it might be my least favorite Spike Lee movie.
That's whoa. That I mean, come on. Spike Lee has some bad movies.
He does have some bad movies, but all of them still feel like him. This movie has good cinematography, and there are like one or two cool sequences. But like maybe if I saw the original and I saw more of like the changes that he made and if they were interesting, okay, then maybe
Russell,
maybe that would give it to me, but
yeah.
Do you like it? You liked it more than She Hate Me?
I haven't seen She Hate Me, to be fair.
That's exactly what I was gonna
say. I've not seen She Hate Me. that's one of like two or three Spike Lee movies I have not seen.
Okay.
So but I liked Red Hook Summer more.
Oh my.
Wow, that you really didn't like this movie.
That's what I'm saying. And I did not like Red Hook Summer.
Yeah, not many did. That was not his finest hour.
But at least I left that movie thinking there were a couple of sequences in it that I thought were like kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Amidst all the sort of garbage, but this movie was not good. There's at least a 5 to 7 minute sequence of Josh Brolin drunkenly ambling about the city. And when I say drunk, I don't mean like normal actor drunk. I mean like slobbering drunk. So like he wants to go buy a rubber ducky, and the lady is like, "It's $5." And Josh Brolin goes, "No, you pay $5." And she's like, "No, you pay $5." And she goes, "No, you pay $5."
That sounds like freshman in college drunk.
It was worse than freshman college. And he was supposed to be like a habitual alcoholic. A real alcoholic holds his booze a little better.
That's right. You know who's mastered the real alcoholic is Don Draper. That's what a real alcoholic function. I think he plays a very drunk guy, the best that I've ever seen on a TV and a movie, because he's still himself, just a little duller and slower.
You know, not like a real alcoholic
spitting on
my
himself.
Grandfather. Oh, man.
I've always wondered if, and this is sort of a movie novice question, but since I'm on a podcast with movie pros, I'll throw it out there.
Please.
I've always wondered if for those kind of scenes, if they ever let the actors get even a little bit drunk.
No.
Is this thinking because they're an act, you know, I guess an actor in the sense is a puppet, you can't control them if they're drunk, or what's the thinking there? Because you got to think that's crossed someone's mind, right?
Well, it's insurance purposes.
I was going to say that.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure if it was like an indie joint, like for the movie that like I want to shoot, if I'm going to be drunk, I'll probably like get a little drunk because I'm not going to be like an insured film anyway.
Yeah, I'll do whatever you want in that movie. Remember that, Russell.
I remember
now,
that.
Would you say the same thing for sex? Do they ever really have sex?
I mean, there are like a couple of rumored sex scenes that are real, but mostly no. They like put the dude's dong in like the sock thing and tie it.
And they
back.
Use the what do you call sock. It? What's it's called like Perfect. A no, it's like a triangle, one of those like triangle foam things, and they like put it over their vag. Jennifer Aniston does that.
Like what? In real life.
Yeah, she,
that's why Brad left.
But isn't Shia have real sex, or am I going crazy?
Rumored.
In okay. What movie? In Transformers.
Nymphomania.
did he bang a bumblebee? Was that was that a real scene?
Yeah, he gave him the bumblebee.
Oh, ew.
I want to talk before we leave movies entirely and go to our game section. I want to just mention that I saw Inside Llewyn Davis, the new Coen Brothers movie, which we'll talk about more next week. But it's totally marvelous. It's one of my favorites of the year, and I strongly, strongly urge anyone living in a major metropolitan area next weekend to go and see it. Opening weekend, make a statement and say, hey, we support the goddamn Coen Brothers. Odds are if you're listening to a movie podcast, you're probably a movie fan enough that you would anyway, right. And so you don't need to hear me say it, but I'm just saying it.
Russell, as a Coen Brothers fan myself, could I ask you to put it in somewhat of a perspective in terms of their other movies, like ranking-wise?
It'd be very, very difficult to do so, but you can try.
Need some time, I think, because, you know, what is he got, like, a single man or whatever?
A Serious Man.
Serious man.
But I really liked A Serious Man. That was one of my favorites.
Me too. I love it.
Do you have a favorite of all time?
And I'm a goy.
I know, shocking. My mom loves that movie, too. Big
fan. Do I have a favorite of all time? Probably I just have to, like, juggle Fargo, No Country for Old Men, and Barton Fink in the air at the same time.
Okay.
You know,
that's consistent with so I'm trying to see, like, if because I'm not a deep Coen Brothers fan, but I love No Country for Old Men and Fargo.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
put it in that same category?
It's not as good as either of those. I mean, it's probably closer to – I think it's better than Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? It's got like okay. It's got like a bit of that vibe in terms of it's like a journey of, and there's a lot of like T-Bone Burnett music in it.
Okay,
we can
cool.
talk more about it next week. But yeah, just definitely go see it. It's definitely going to be. I'm gonna see it again next weekend. So I'll have the two time perspective.
Sweet,
which is always good. Anyway, let's go ahead and go to commercial, and when we come back, we will have some games. So stick around. Would you like to support Long and Late Movie Show? I've got the best way for you to do so. Do you like books? How about hearing things? If you answered yes to one or both of those questions, you will love the audiobooks available on audible.com. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't want to spend any of my hard-earned dollars on audiobooks. If only there was a way for me to get an audiobook for free. Well, brace yourselves, brothers and sisters, because Audible is offering a free 30-day trial and the opportunity to download a free audiobook. Now, maybe you're a big nerd like me and you want to check out J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. Maybe you're like my beautiful girlfriend Emily and you want to check out Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl, the novel that's sweeping the nation. Audible has over 100,000 titles for you to choose from. You can support our show and get your free audiobook by going to www.audibletrial.com/LLMovieshow. What a deal. Again, that's www.audibletrial.com/LLMovieshow. Please go there, start your free trial today, and tell us on Twitter that your life has been changed forever thanks to this audiobook. Thank you for choosing audible.com, and thank you for supporting America's movie podcast. Back to the show. And we're back. Let's play The Gross is Right.
Russell, really quickly, you and I split the four movies last weekend.
I won for
Frozen and Homefront, and you won for Old Boy and Black Nativity.
So what's the current
I'm the
tally?
Big loser, huh?
Yeah, hold on. Let's
By the way,
see.
Didn't for Old Boy, I guess, 1 million?
Yes, guess, it came
you
in
guessed
at
1 million.
It came in at 1.5, so my
How yeah. great was that guess?
Yes, and I had 2.5, and so I managed to lose that there. Russell, you are at 45. I'm at 29, and Shira is at 34.
So
Oh, boy.
Although there are a lot of December releases, like if I get like one or two more, I've pretty much sealed it up for the year.
It would take
a big old Auburn at the end of the Iron Bowl play by Shira.
Man, that was wild.
I call it The Return.
I like
wow,
that.
That's very
clever.
Original.
Yeah.
Hey, I dubbed that like the second it was done. I tweeted it and I said, "Credit me if you're going to use The Return," as in like capital T, the capital R, Return. I was like, I've dubbed it, claimed it.
Okay. So, guys, we've got one movie this week. Out of the Furnace. It's coming out on Wednesday, so it's a 5-day release.
What? How many theaters?
Hold on one second.
Because isn't it coming out, like, only in a few theaters on the 4th and then a bunch of them on the 6th?
Oh, man, I thought The Desolation of Smaug was coming out.
No, that, I think it's the 13th.
Statistically. We've got four on December 4th and 2,000 on Friday.
All right, so 2,000 basically. Gotcha. All right, I have to go first, right, because I totally lost and shit the bed.
Yes.
I'm going to go with 9 million.
I'll go next, and I'll say that this movie will do 5 million.
9 million and 5 million. 5 million is pretty good.
Bail power.
Keep in mind that Frozen did 93 million over its 5-week, and Hunger Games did 110 million over its 3-day
Well, those are both very comparable to Out of the Furnace.
I'm just saying that they're going to be eating up the number of theaters that are going to be available. While Old Boy probably will.
What was what's that one Woody quote in the Out of the Furnace trailer?
Like, oh,
your
wow.
brother took something of mine, I want it back. Or like something like that.
Whatever he took, retake it.
What? he's using that like super deep like Billy Bob Thornton Sling Blade voice. You know
not
what I mean?
Not his Haymitch voice.
Shouldn't have done that.
He's just a boy. Poor little fella.
Fuck. I'll go 4 million. I'll take the low.
I'll take the high. Josh, what do you think?
What is this game? what game are we playing?
We're guessing the opening weekend box office for this film that's being released next week, Out of the Furnace, with Christian Bale and Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck, Zoe Saldana.
Do you think white people invented this game?
I think they did.
I actually don't think white people did invent this game.
I don't think they did either.
That's a white cast. I'm gonna say Bale's got a fan base. Harrelson's got a fan base. 5.5 million.
He's just a boy.
He's just a boy.
Shouldn't have done that.
Folks love the Cheers. They want to see Woody.
Yeah,
I just sort of.
That's the same market.
It's the same market.
Yeah, those Cheers fans are going to come out and line up.
I want to see like a scene of Woody Harrelson beating the shit out of Casey Affleck, and in the background here, like, where everybody knows your name.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's what the folks are going to show up for.
I really thought, by the way, there was a missed opportunity. I saw Hunger Games Catching Fire, not to detract too far from what we were talking about. I thought there was a really missed opportunity when Lenny Kravitz is getting the shit beat out of him for the soundtrack to come in with, I want to get away. I want to fly away.
I thought it would have been even nicer if it was like, because baby, it ain't over till it's over, and just have him die.
Or maybe when he was like really close to Jennifer Lawrence, we hear like a little American woman. Stay away from me here.
I thought it would be better if they cast an actor to play his character.
Oh God.
Josh is not a cinema fan.
When all of those bad guys come up to beat him up, he goes, I ain't gonna go my way. God, I'm stupid. And that is The Gross Is Right.
Da, 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 da.
All right. Shira, I'm so sorry. I don't have the speakers plugged in.
What do you want me to do? For my quiz?
Yeah, I'm just going to do my best impression of it a cappella.
All right. All right, everybody. Put down your DVD collection of Cheers. It's time for Shira Selko's Sour Patch Quiz.
Sour Patch Kids on the Sour Patch Quiz. Eating that motherfucker Sour Patch Kids. Sour Patch Kids on the Sour Patch Kids. Sugar high in the sky. Sour Patch will never die.
Yeah, I like that.
That was pretty fucking good, man. It was really good.
I really don't know what they say there at the end. I tried to vamp it there a little bit.
I actually thought that was really perfect.
Thank you.
Hey, Russell, next time I meet Spike Lee, I'm telling him that you invented him.
Fact. Big fact.
Not far from the truth.
I've heard Russell rap. It's pretty amazing stuff.
That's
it's
right.
Genre inventing, yeah.
We have four questions today on the quiz. Josh, would you like to play this game? Josh has not seen the questions or the answers, just for the listening base out there who thinks I give. Nepotism is – there's no place for nepotism in the Sour Patch quiz, okay?
Nepotism.
Yeah,
I would
no
love
nepotism,
to play. What are the rules? How does the game work?
So basically, here's what happens. I'm going to start, and I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, you get to answer the next question. If you get it wrong, Russell or Layton can steal from you, and then they will continue to answer until they get one wrong. Got it?
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Question number one about your boy crush, James Franco.
Now, does it matter that we're drift compatible, Shira?
Oh, God, you guys. My brother and I have been so drift compatible all weekend. Like, it's like we're operating the same Jaeger.
We think we accidentally drifted because we've been I've been asking Shira at random times what song's in my head, and she went like 3 for 3 at some point. It was crazy.
Just a little insight into our family weirdness. Yeah. All right, first question. Josh, are you ready?
Yes.
I want you to put these James Franco films, there's 3 films, and I want you to put them in order from best opening weekend to worst opening weekend, okay?
Okay, so the highest opening first.
Exactly. Here are the movies. Homefront, Tristan and Isolde, and Annapolis.
Okay, I'm going to go with – I mean, these are 3 great, great movies. I own all of them on DVD.
You don't own Homefront yet.
I don't know any of them. All right, so I'm going to say Annapolis was the best, followed by Homefront, followed by Tristan and Isolde.
That is correct, actually. 7.6 million for Annapolis, 6.9 Front, Tristan and Isolde, 6.5.
Shout out to Madam Younger.
Did you hear Franco on Howard Stern like talk shit about Annapolis and Tristan and Isolde?
No.
No.
Yeah, you should check that out. It's pretty funny.
Okay, cool.
I love Franco.
All right, Josh, are you ready for the next question?
I'm still up? Okay, yeah.
Winona Ryder has been in 3 films, only 3 films that grossed over $100 million.
Okay.
Name 2 of them.
Beetlejuice.
No.
Steal.
And the other one is wait.
You can
steal. I get to steal.
Steal. Russell's gonna steal.
Okay. She was in Star Trek.
Correct.
And what? She was in the Sandler one, Mr. Deeds.
That is correct.
Oh, good call.
Can I guess the third for like a bonus point?
No bonus point, but because there's only 4 questions.
So. Oh, okay. Is it Black Swan?
It is. Those are the top three. Star Trek.
Oh! Winona Ryder was in Black Swan?
Yeah, she was like...
She's the old.
She has some of the most insane scenes in that insane movie.
I just don't remember because she wasn't making out like the other two.
That's true.
You concentrate on what's important.
That's right.
All right, Russell, two more questions left. The next question is, what's the top grossing Jason Statham film? Top grossing.
Statham joint. Top grossing.
Statham dog.
State dog. State dog, Warren G, about to regulate. Mm-hmm. Do you want best opening weekend or best, like, overall?
Overall box office gross.
Overall, okay. God, that makes it a little harder. I was going to say if it was opening, I probably would have said Expendables, but I think if I'm going overall, I might go Italian Job.
It is the Italian Job.
Wow.
106 million.
Was Expendables highest grossing opening?
That's what I'm checking right now.
I would have guessed Transporter 2.
you would have gone. Expendables is best opening. Yes, Russell.
That was?
Yeah, 34 million. Italian Job, 19 million.
State right. Dog.
Last question, Russell. I give you 2 points. Are you ready?
Yes.
Top grossing Kate Bosworth movie.
The Boz?
The Boz. Boz Dog.
I mean...
I was like, is this a real question?
This is a legit question. I'm pretty sure it's Superman Returns.
Why do you guys try to play like my questions are dumb? These are good questions, but you're right.
It's not dumb. I just can't think of another one that would like come remotely close to that one.
Exactly, because there isn't one.
Oh, okay. Just to make sure I wasn't like forgetting an animated movie in which she was like woman number four or whatever.
I mean, it should be Blue Crush because that's just a brilliant film, but... it is, in fact, Superman Returns. The second place movie was Remember the Titans.
Leighton, can you name, without using Homefront, three other Kate Bosworth movies other than Blue Crush, Superman Returns, and Remember the Titans?
Are you serious? I can name like five.
I want to see if Leighton can name three.
Okay.
Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Nice.
That's one. Nice. Great movie.
That's okay. That's the one with Topher Grace, and that's all I got.
I knew it.
Blue Crush, Rules of Attraction.
I wouldn't have even gotten Rules of Attraction.
Yeah,
I would have busted out The Warrior's Way.
The Warrior's Way, Beyond the Sea.
Oh my God! I saw Warrior's Way.
I didn't even remember. I just remember The Warrior's Way because. Black Rock, that shit where she's where they're like all naked or whatever. Warrior's Way is just one of those movies where when she rolled into it, I was like, "What is going on?"
Didn't you guys?
I saw one.
Straw Dogs.
21's a big movie.
I never saw 21.
Oh, that was right. She was in that one too. That was a good one.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was a good one.
That Russell, that makes you the winner, and that is how you play. Shiraselko Sour Patch Quiz.
Sour Patch Quiz on the Sour Patch Quiz. Eating that motherfucker Sour Patch Quiz. Sour Patch Quiz on the Sour Patch Quiz. Sugar high, it's a sour patch, I never die.
Have you do that from now on.
It would mean I wouldn't have to plug in the speakers, which would be nice.
You lazy.
Congratulations,
box.
Russell. Good
well,
steal.
I spent my speaker plugging in time making margaritas. I apologize.
So wait a second, Shira. Was Beetlejuice anywhere near, or is it just because the inflation...
I bet it's over 100 if adjusted for inflation. But
I will check that right now, actually.
But there was no way it grossed over 100 mil. I wouldn't have thought if I'd gone with any of those older ones. I probably would have gone with Scissorhands. I don't think that would have broken it either.
If you adjust for inflation, it goes. Star Trek still first, of course. Then Mr. Deeds, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Beetlejuice, Black Swan, Edward Scissorhands, Little Women.
Are all of those over 100 mil adjusted?
Everything, but yes, over 100 mil adjusted.
Well,
Edward Scissorhands is 107.6 adjusted.
People at home should adjust their junk because Leighton Gordon has another game for us this week.
Hells yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a name for this one, but this is just a general quiz on you know, some plot descriptions of some movies. And the theme for this one is just going to be about sisters in honor of Frozen coming out. So all of these descriptions
sisters
are,
are like sisters.
ERS.
Ask Spike Lee.
Yeah, Spike will tell you. He'll throw his two-way
at
you.
I just didn't want to be like thrown off if it was like think like a man. You know?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be at a disadvantage since you didn't see She Hate Me.
That's true. I would not have put She Hate Me into the movies about sisters. But I don't think that movie, from what I know, would be a very good movie about sisters.
No.
There would be a lot of relations there. I don't know. Siblings there. Yeah. Let me give you the plot of anyone can call it out based on the description.
So we'll just shout it out when we know it.
Shout out when you know. Okay. Let's start with this one, which might be easier. Two sisters contend for the affection of King Henry VIII in this 2008 movie.
Oh. The Other Boleyn Girl.
Yes, that is correct.
I never saw it. I forgot about that.
I've seen that movie so many freaking times.
Why? Do you, like, have stars on
I hate my friend Jessica. Shout out to my friend Jessica Nearhoof. She fucking loves that movie. And she used to watch it every single time she was at my house. It's like always on stars, like you said.
I prefer Brother from Another Other Boleyn Girl.
How about this one? A young woman has been in and out of rehab for the past 10 years, returns home for the weekend for her sister's wedding.
Rachel getting married.
Rachel getting married.
Yes.
Got it.
How about Sally and Jillian are a sister pair of witches that are haunted by a family curse that results in
the witches of Eastwick.
Male lovers dying out of the blue.
Oh, I know what it is. It's
initially resentful of their magical abilities, Sally comes to embrace them.
Practical magic.
Fuck! It's that Sandra Bullock joint.
Practical magic. I just said it.
Yep, practical magic.
I got 2 points.
That one is too easy for Russell.
That was not easy for me, by the way.
No. I'm talking about this other one I was going to read. A woman invites her male friend to stay at her family's island getaway after the death of his brother. At their remote cabin, the friend's drunken encounter with the woman's sister leads to interesting revelations and developments in all three of their lives.
What?
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
No.
I think this happened to me, this exact thing. That's why I can't think of the movie.
Your sister banged the guy that you wanted to be with?
More than once.
Happens to the best of us.
It really does. I don't know it, late.
Okay. We'll come back to that one. This woman is forced to endure her sister sleeping with her husband and her ex-husbands respectively before having the graphic details of her personal life become the inspiration for one of their plays.
Oh, wait a minute.
This sounds Shakespearean as fuck, but I don't know what it is.
It's not. Repeat it one time.
A woman is forced to endure one of her sisters sleeping with her husband and one of her other sisters sleeping with her ex-husband before having the graphic details of her personal life become the inspiration for one of their plays.
I definitely know this one.
I definitely don't.
Hold on.
Now, I'm surprised. This is the one that I was surprised Russell does not know.
Oh, you gave him a hint.
Plays, I'm thinking of Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing.
So we'll come back to that one then.
Not that one.
I thought it would be easy. Okay. After the youngest sister survives a suit, identical twins separated at birth, and each raised by one of their biological parents, discover each other for the first
parent
time.
Trap. Can...
Sure, come on, you can't.
Come on, man. I thought, I'm trying to. I don't know.
Which Parent Trap, though?
Both.
Nice.
Two aging sisters, one a has-been child star, the other a Hollywood actress whose career was ruined when an accident left her in a wheelchair, share the same old dilapidated mansion where one of them is slowly growing demented out of jealousy from success her sister had.
Grey Gardens?
It's not Grey Gardens.
I'm going to go with Grey Gardens.
No.
It's not Grey Gardens.
Oh, got it. What about Grey Gardens? Yeah.
Grey beef flaps?
No. So let's go through the list. Russell wins, I guess, 3-1 there.
Oh!
Over Shira. So this sister's forced to endure her sister sleeping with her husband and ex-husband. That's Hannah and her sisters.
Oh, it's too generic a description. It's not your fault, obviously, but that's like so generic a description that I don't think my mind would have ever gone there. And that's one of my favorite movies.
I didn't see it.
You've never seen Hannah and her sisters?
No.
What kind of a Jew are you?
You always ask me this question. I'm a terrible one.
I feel like
she's not a great one.
You can see some Woody Allen. That's a Woody Allen movie.
You should be required to watch the Woody Allen filmography, the Mel Brooks filmography, and the Marx Brothers filmography.
I've seen almost all Woody Allen movies. I haven't seen
that one. Isn't this the one where Michael Caine wins the Oscar? Right?
Michael Caine? Yes. He wears amazing glasses in it.
So the one where the male friend has to stay at the cabin, that's Your Sister's Sisters from 2011.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
What else is the other one? The last one is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane from 1962.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
All right.
Good game, Light.
So I have one game as well.
Go for it.
This game is called Name That Statham.
Amazing.
I'm going to give you a Statham character name.
Okay.
You have to shout out the film.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Here we go. All right.
Shit's about to get real. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're just shouting it out, right? Just to confirm? This is where you're doing shout-outs?
Shouting it out.
Okay.
Right. Let's start with Chev Chelios.
Frank!
Layton got that one. Very good.
Jesus.
Frank Martin.
Transporter?
Yes. Layton got that one as well. 2 points for Layton right out the gate. Let's go down to Phil Broker.
Homefront.
There you go. Sure, I got that one. All right. It's going to get a little trickier now.
Okay.
Jensen Ames.
Death Race
is correct.
Wait a second. I'm calling this one out. How'd you get that, Shira?
What do you mean?
Weren't we talking about Death Race yesterday?
Yes.
Maybe she got it because Death Race is a seminal classic of cinematic horror.
I was just singing that same tune yesterday.
But here's the thing.
That one's for protest.
I had to look up all these Statham movies for this quiz that I did today.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because as of yesterday, you were not familiar with the movie Death Race.
Ooh, getting a little challenge there from the old...
That's right. I'm throwing challenge flag.
Not drift compatible on that answer right there.
Yeah. Our Jaeger's dysfunctioning, and we haven't found the sword yet.
Yeah, there's some gypsy danger going on.
No kidding.
All right, here's the next one. This might be my favorite. Name Terry Leather.
Oh my god.
Terry Leather. I'm just gonna shout the Italian Job, even though I know that's not right.
It's not right. Layton, Josh.
Terry Leather. I remember his name.
Snatch?
Not Snatch. Josh, you get a guess now before we move on.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Alright, we're gonna move on.
Alright.
Handsome Rob.
That's Italian Job.
That is Italian Job. So Shira has took the lead here, 3-2. Come on, Layton.
Okay.
All right. How about this one? Sergeant Jericho Butler. These are great names, by the way.
They really are.
Even Seagal names rival these, but they're quite good.
Jericho.
Sergeant.
I don't know it.
The sergeant is the clue there.
What's he a...
Sergeant.
Here's a hint. Maybe he's not a sergeant on this planet.
Uh,
Doom?
Not Doom. I don't think he's in Doom. No steals? All right, we're moving on.
Blank.
How about Bacon?
Bacon.
I think Bacon's phenomenal.
His name is Bacon.
I'm trying to think of other movies. That's not his name in Revolver, is it?
Not his name in Revolver.
Damn it. I'm running out of statements.
Bank Job?
Not Bank Job. Josh?
No clue.
Might as well guess a Statham movie.
Yeah, shout it
I'm
out.
I'm going to go with Transporter 2.
Nope, that would also be Frank Martin. So we're going to move on.
I figured they might have gone with a name change.
Yeah, the first one didn't sell well enough. We got to change. If we change his name to Bacon, people are really going to want to come. Americans love bacon.
Yeah.
They line up.
We're not going to get the Jewish crowd.
Yeah, no.
It's not kosher.
But we'll call him Turkey Bacon.
Turkey Bacon.
Speaking of turkey, this character named Turkish.
Snatch.
Now that's Snatch.
Shear already got it. Shear's got 4 points. 4 points to two. Leighton, you're going to need to get one in the next couple here in order to come out on top. Lee Christmas.
Oh, I know this one.
Shear got it again. Expendables.
Good job, Shear.
Well done. All right. How about Parker?
Parker.
Parker.
All right. Shira's running away with this. I just
got that one. What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, Leighton had that
Shira
one.
Got it. I'll just do one or two other ones here. Arthur Bishop.
Wait. Safe?
Not safe.
Arthur Bishop.
That's a great guess and a pretty goddamn good movie, if I say so myself.
For like the first half, it's good.
I'm just going to guess Revolver again since
Not
I don't think
Revolver,
we guessed.
Josh.
Okay.
I'd say Safe is great all the way through, but the first half is astonishing.
There's not a Transporter 3, is there?
There is a Transporter 3, but...
I'm going to go with Transporter 3.
His name is also Frank Martin in that one.
Are you kidding me? Three in a row?
Transporter 3 is no good. Transporter 2 is where it's at.
Transporter 3 does have that good train sequence, though.
Is it Grey Gardens?
It's not Grey Gardens.
Okay.
It's not Grey Beef Flaps. how about Luke Wright?
Luke. Hello, my name's Luke.
Hello.
Killer Elite.
My name's Luke Wright.
Not Killer Elite.
Lockstock?
Not Lockstock. Josh, there's not a Transporter 4 before you even guess it.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking Transformer 4. It's I actually know this one, and it's killing me because I saw this one on TV. It's not a great movie, is it? And it's like, is it Crack? No, wait. No.
No, it is pretty great. Well, the first half of this one is astonishing.
Yeah. Shit. Is it Cracked or like, what is it? Just tell me.
No, we're going to move on. All right, I'm going to give you.
Oh, okay. You can't reveal?
I'm going to give you one more here. The final one I'm going to give you is Tybalt.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet is correct. All right.
You saw Romeo and Juliet?
It's animated.
Let me give you some of these other ones. Terry Leather is the bank job.
Oh.
Handsome Rob is Italian Job. Sergeant Jericho Butler, Ghosts of Mars.
Oh, shit. I never saw that.
Bacon is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Turkish is Snatch.
Yeah.
And there was one other one. Oh, there were two others. Arthur Bishop was the mechanic, Leighton.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I was
Luke,
like, that movie has like the same year. I just didn't.
And then it was actually a different year than Safe.
Is it
Safe? That's what it is. Safe.
Yeah, Josh, did you miss the whole discussion when we were talking about Safe during the previous? That's why I gave you the hint
the previous
that I did.
Question.
I had literally just gotten finished saying the first half of Safe is astonishing.
I think now that you say that, I recall.
Now it's all coming. It's all coming back to me.
All clicking now.
There were moments so cold, and there were flashes of light. Would any of you know when Jason Statham played the role Eve Gluant?
No. Was it in The Other Boleyn Girl by any chance? I'm just going over my greatest hits from the evening.
The Pink Panther. The
Steve
Martin
God,
version.
Really? What a turd.
Wait, are you saying that Jason Statham had a French accent in the movie, or what?
He's credited in that film?
He's uncredited.
I was going to say, what?
But 2006, The Pink Panther, he's in it. I vaguely recall it. I think he has, you know, he's like one of the other, like, detective spies, you know, that Inspector Clouseau looks up to or whatever. I think. I didn't think the first one was very good, but I actually thought The Pink Panther 2 was pretty funny. I'm going there. I'm taking it there.
I'm not going to argue with you. I still champion movie 43.
Do you remember Jason Statham's name in movie 43?
No. Oh, wait. He wasn't in it.
No, he wasn't in it.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's not true. That's testing, not true, liar.
Testing your movie 43 knowledge.
You can't beat me on that.
She's going to have a fan page to movie 43 soon.
I know. I'm going to put it up.
SelkieMovie43.com. .gov.
.edu, because I'm going to educate your ass.
.org.
Oh, God.
Is movie 43 going to crack your top 10 of the year?
It might, just from sheer spite.
From sheer spite?
If I had to put it in the comedy category, it would probably crack top 10 comedies of the year.
Oh boy, I don't know if I can name top 10 comedies of the year.
Yeah,
I guess we have another month.
Yeah, we've got some time.
Yeah,
we got some time.
This is episode 98, by the way. Two episodes from now will be our centennial celebration.
Hashtag centennial ep.
Hashtag centennial. Hashtag celebration.
Hashtag 100.
Hashtag race to 200 subscribers. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Hey, it's time for plugs. Shira, plug.
All right, you guys, this is pretty sad, but it's Mendoza's last show at Players Theater, Friday, December 6th. We've got some old members of Mendoza coming back to join us. Some old members from the original group Dick Tooth will be joining us as well.
Dick Tooth. I still own
dicktooth.com, so all
I
of you
bet you do.
People trying to get it. Nope, not selling. So please follow me on Twitter at Shira Selko.
Wait a minute, hashtag... Who's trying to get dicktooth.com?
Who isn't, Russell?
Fair rebuttal.
Please follow me over on the gram at Shira Selko as well. I'm like less than 200 followers away from 10,000 on Twitter, so hit me up over there. Please like my photos on the gram, and please follow me over on Tumblr, where I talk about my life, shiraselko.tumblr.com. And thanks for a really fun episode.
I didn't know you talk about your life on there.
I do.
I mean, I follow you, but I rarely check it.
I follow you, but I don't read any content that you provide.
When I check it, I read.
I know.
It's just hard. There's too many social medias.
Look, we're BFF IRL. You don't have to read my blog to know me.
We're bifferals?
We're bifferals.
Fair enough. Josh, a.k.a. Joshua. By the way, is your name Josh or Joshua in real life?
My full name is Joshua.
Joshua. My roommate in college, my senior year, was Joshua, and I called him Yeshua.
Oh, yeah?
So, Yeshua.
After the old Aramaic pronunciation?
It is. My Joshua in senior year, also Jewish. Joshua Posen. I wonder if Joshua Posen is listening right now. There's no way. Trivia, Joshua Posen worked on the Olympics in Canada because he's a Canadian.
I have a Canadian girlfriend. This is all coming full circle.
Hey, the Shira's final Mendoza show, which has been happened like four times now.
No, this is really it.
Is it the Players Theater at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard?
Thank you.
I just thought I'd interject that because they're talking about it in the Skype. Yeshua, give us some plugs.
All right, so I actually wasn't sure what to plug, but Shira gave me a great idea. Please, anyone out there that's listening, follow me on Instagram, because I just now I'm the kind of person that gets obsessed with things very quickly and then moves on. My newest obsession, it just started a couple days ago, is photography. I've taken 22 pictures on Instagram, and if you want to see some pictures, if you like what you've heard today, and you want to see what that looks like in filtered pictures, at Josh Self.
How long did it take you to post those 22 pictures?
I think I signed up in 2008.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you signed up like 2 hours ago.
Is it all pictures of clouds in your legs?
I actually, no, but Shira is in a lot of them. So if you like Shira.
The Hoboken Skyline. Like
yeah, Hoboken
Skyline. There actually is a Hoboken Skyline one, and I think that I used the sunlight to my advantage. That's a little hint. I'm not going to spoil it. It's just a little what you can look forward to. And at Josh Selk, Instagram.
Are you wearing any funky tights in any of these pictures?
You know,
you're
Shira. That's
step up your
that's
game.
The Shira
step
tight
up your
reference.
Tight game, Yeshua, because Shira has that shit on lockdown.
She really does. I can't.
Also, Josh, give a quick plug to your lovely girlfriend who is a wonderful singer.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I don't have anything to plug because I don't have any talent, but my lovely girlfriend, Lauren Roy, has tons of it, and she likes to express her talent through song. So if you love singing, if you like cute girls, and if you like Canadians, then check her out at laurenroy.com.
I like two of those. No things. Joke, yeah. I love all three of those things.
Yeah, laurenroy, R-O-Y.com.
There you go. Thank you, Shira, for reminding
Does
me.
Does she I sing think in Lauren, a thick yeah. Canadian brogue?
Yes, it is a bunch
she
of a brogue.
She actually has a pretty stereotypical Canadian accent. A lot of A's.
Is she French-Canadian or Eastern Canadian?
Quebecoise?
No, she's not Quebecois. She's
is that even how you fucking say that?
It's Quebecois, I think, right?
Yeah, we'll Quebecois.
She's not Quebecois. She's a big ass Canadian. Torontonian.
T-Town.
She voted for Rob Ford.
She did vote for Rob Ford.
Rob Ford is her mayor.
She don't pop Molly. She vote Rob Ford.
Lauren has plenty to eat at home.
Hey-o, I remember that joint.
Oh, my goodness.
Rob Ford.
Yeah, that's that. You know, it's crazy. I was telling Shira about that story. That happened about 6 months ago, which is strange. I'm up there a lot
yes.
because of her and other things. And what's crazy is how long it took to get to the U.S. But anyway, yeah,
no,
Lauren.
It's been on Deadspin for a while. It's just that finally the Toronto cops decided
they
to verify. Say, "Hey, that actually happened."
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Lauren Roy, very pretty girl, great voice, a lot of talent, cute as a button. Canadian as the day is long. Check her out.
Is she very pretty or is she cute as a button?
You know what? If you could mash those two things together like they do at the bagel smashery down the street, that's what you'd have.
Whoa, that was a very regional reference.
It was.
You know how it is at the bagel smashery here in Hoboken. This episode's
on the West Coast. He doesn't know what a good bagel is.
I was about to say, it's so hard to find a good bagel out here.
Where are you,
Sponsored
Russell?
By Bagel Smashery.
I'm out in Santa Monica.
Oh, okay. That's where Lauren is. Lauren's in Ventura. She flew out there. She's got a gig out there today.
Tonight?
Yeah, actually. She's got a gig. It's a private event, but it starts in a couple of hours.
Oh, well, la-da-da.
Well, I just set up her website. Yeah, private event. Oh.
You're on
can,
it. I
can,
like
I get,
it.
Can I get on that guest list? Can I get a little can she put me on the clipboard?
Let me text her and let her know you're coming.
Ventura is far as shit from me, by the way.
Is it? Well, it's California. It's got a name that sounds sunny.
Ventura is Molly's. Not as nice as Santa Monica, where it's 75 and sunny every day. But I went to Ohio last week. Shout out to all the Ohio listeners.
Shout out to Jeff Hadzinski.
Jeffrey, who I told I was in Ohio. Shout out to Jordy Hamrick.
Jordy.
Shout out to
Lisa Cook, if anyone follows Lisa Cook on Twitter or Tumblr.
What about my boy Daniel, a.k.a. Nardster?
Nardster, shout out to Daniel Fife.
That's right. That's the last name there. Yeah. I want to spend a longer amount of time back in Ohio because I went to grad school there, but I don't want to spend it between the months of September and May.
No. You don't want to have a May-September romance with Ohio.
I've been there, done it, hate it.
Plug it up, guys. Plug it up.
Shout out, though. They're going to be in the championship game probably. So shout out to my Bucks, OH. So there you go. I gave a little pause so they could yell I.O. But my Duke football team might be in the Orange Bowl if they can beat FSU.
Simply amazing. Is simply amazing to me.
That is amazing. It's been a long, hard journey, Leighton. I've been following Duke football since 1992-93. It's been a long – what a strange trip then. It's been.
Are you talking about Duke University?
The same.
Yeah, I saw a great thing on SportsCenter where they did a reaction shot. I think it might have been Grant Hill following the Christian Leighton shot. A split screen with the kid from Auburn with his hand over his mouth, and they were comparing like their facial expression.
I bet what you're thinking about is not Grant Hill. I bet you're thinking about Thomas Hill.
Yeah, he was like almost in tears.
Because Thomas Hill had the two hands on his head and was sobbing.
That's right. That's exactly – you nailed it. That's exactly right.
I watched that game live. It's – burned into my brain.
Hell of a game.
Well, I know people on sports blogs are trying to compare those two games. I'm sorry, not comparable.
That you don't think so?
Auburn game was not nearly as good as the Duke Kentucky game was up to its finale.
We could do a whole podcast on that right there.
No, we couldn't, because I just solved it.
Is that right?
I gave the definitive answer. If anyone's trying to compare them, they're wrong. Period. Unless you're an Auburn fan, in which case, God bless you.
And in which case, War Eagle.
In which case, War Damn Eagle. Which a bunch of... So I am from Florida, and University of Florida, if you don't know, had a bad football year. A very bad football... Their first losing season in, like, decades. And so all my Florida friends who do not like Alabama for regional reasons and for obvious reasons were all putting on Facebook War Damn Eagle. And that's a little sad. But then again, if Duke was having a terrible year and someone beat UNC, maybe I'd be Seminole chopping or something else. Yeah,
that's
not
completely
racist.
Natural.
You know.
That's a completely natural reaction.
That's right. So, you know, there you go. But anyway, I am Russell H. Film on Twitter, on Instagram, on Vine, on Letterboxd. I've not put my Inside Llewyn Davis review there. But wait, what? Me, Russell, not you.
You what didn't go to Leighton. You didn't let Leighton plug for the laters.
Well, son of a bitch! Leighton, where can the laters, a.k.a. the Screaming Legion, find you? And by the way, my name is spelled with two L's, you son of a bitch.
You forget about Leighton, you lose an L.
I was so upset I had to rage type to you.
That was a rage type?
Yeah. Exactly.
If it was a rage type, you would have put a period at the end. You know what I mean? Have you ever gotten a text from someone where it has a period and normally they don't use punctuation? And if they put that period, it feels like they're the angriest person on the planet?
Well, yes.
That's how periods make you feel, Russell.
Is that a double entendre?
It's not a double entendre, but
periods
it's funny.
Make you angry, Russell.
I was literally about to say if my girlfriend Emily Jones sends me a text with a period, then so maybe it is a bit of a double entendre. But if I get a I just wish you had done that. Period. That's much worse than anything else.
Yeah, that's the disappointment period.
Oh, my God, the disappointment period is worse. Leighton, where can the Laters, a.k.a. the Screaming Legion, find you?
On Twitter, LateGordon. Same place on Letterboxd and LeightonGordon.blogspot.com.
Buy a Later hat, you fuckers.
Yeah, I have one, assholes.
It's the Christmas and Hanukkah time of year.
And Hanukkah's almost done, so you've only got.
But you know what? If you want to give your Jewish friends a belated, if you want to buy the Yeshua in your life a belated Hanukkah gift,
buy them a belaters.
A belater gift.
Yeah.
You know what? Even if they're not Jewish, buy them a nice Hanukkah gift.
Yeah.
And say, hey, it's this night of Hanukkah, and they're gonna say, my name is Gordon. And you're going to say, fuck off, 8 crazy nights. Here is your Hanukkah gift.
I love when Russell's drunk on margaritas.
And I'm not even that drunk. I'm just having a good time here.
He's Don Draper drunk.
It was a long day.
He's Don Draper drunk, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you put me on camera right now, I look stone cold sober.
I thought you were going to say you look like Don Draper.
Well, I mean, that's every day. I'm Don Draper with a beard. I'm Don Draper with a beard. And I don't mean Emily Jones.
Oh,
I like how you say your girlfriend's full name every time. Is that a thing?
It's awesome.
It is. Well, I mean, like, it flows trippingly from the tongue. You know what I mean?
I'll bet it does.
Hey-o.
Well, let me tell you a little story about last night, if you know what I'm saying.
Did she invent hip-hop?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't really understand the double entendre there, but I'm going to assume
there
it's sexual,
one.
In which case,
I'm just bringing up old shit.
It is sexual. It always is.
Yeah, I have a big bushy beard. My mom sent me I FaceTimed with her Thanksgiving because I didn't go home for Thanksgiving. And so I FaceTimed and mom said, "Oh, you're doing that big bushy beard thing, aren't you?"
She knows what's up. She knows about Movember.
It wasn't even a Movember. I totally forgot it was Movember. When I'm in the writing zone and I'm staying at home all the time writing, I just develop a big bushy beard because I don't need to like meet people and look like a human being. So you know, I just that's my current look. It's my big bushy beard. Sure, do you have Snapchat? Who has Snapchat?
I don't have it, but I'll download it if you're going to start sending me pictures of your triple B.
I'm. Big bushy beard. I see what you did there. I'm Russell H. Film on Snapchat, people of the world. And I sent out an awesome Snapchat earlier. I was listening to the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack, and I was staring at the camera looking sad with my big bushy beard while folk music was playing for like 10 seconds, and I sent that out to everybody.
If that's not a reason to join, I don't know what is.
Me deadpanly staring out into the ether, you know, as sad Marcus Mumford and Oscar Isaac duets play, then Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? Maybe you don't know what I mean.
I don't. I actually
then
don't.
David, you know what I mean?
Yeah, David, that's
go.
Better.
David, the king, the hey. King.
Mela.
Capital K, capital D. Kevin
capital
Durant,
M for Mela.
King David, coincidence? I think not.
So no new followers on Instagram yet. Just checked.
We're not live, in case you didn't know.
Guys, we're going to expect Yeshua, do you have a Twitter account?
I do.
What's your Twitter account?
Same handle, Josh Selk, Joshselk.
I was really hoping it would be Selky with like a lot of like E's at the end.
Hey Russell, guess what the theme for my bar mitzvah was? Selke Stadium.
Okay.
We have amazing t-shirts. So it looks like a sports stadium, and we had like all these sports figures and stuff everywhere.
Is there a big picture of like Josh's face in the middle of the stadium? Like
honestly, there were like four of them.
I really if you have a spare medium t-shirt.
I'll see if I have any extras.
You send it my way.
All right.
Because there's nothing I love more. I go to the thrift store and I buy bar mitzvah t-shirts all the time.
You should have one of mine too, Russell. Mine was Shira FM.
I'm sorry, you didn't have a bar mitzvah. You had a bat mitzvah.
I'm the worst Jew ever. I really am the worst Jew ever.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. How many bat mitzvahs have you been to?
More than you. I guarantee it.
You name the number and we'll see.
At least 30.
Oh, well, you win.
Also, do you know exactly how many bar mitzvahs you've been to?
Because I was about to say, I was a camp counselor for girls who were like 12 and 13 for multiple summers. So I've been
Hold
to
on.
A few.
Wait a second. Back it up. Back up the
who
truck.
Who the hell let that happen?
What do you who mean? I'm
how
a
old
wonderful
were you?
Camp counselor. I was
oh,
a
sure
counselor
you were, but...
at the Jewish Community Alliance
Wait,
in Jackson,
was it just a was it just a day camp? It wasn't an overnight camp.
It was not an overnight camp.
Oh, okay. That's okay. How.
No, it was not an overnight camp. It was a theater camp. Although we did have once per sort of session.
Yeah.
We had like a big sort of group overnight thing.
Yeah, Josh and I worked at a JCC camp, but it was an overnight camp.
See, I was always sort of confused by why Jacksonville, Florida, which has plenty of Jews, mind you, because we live in Florida.
Right.
Why they went with the JCA, the Jewish Community Alliance, instead of the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, which is...
I've never heard of it either.
Which is most everywhere else.
So you were in charge of 12 and 13-year-old girls at some off-brand Jewish camp.
And boys. You know.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Off-brand.
12, 13, 14, you know, like that age range, because they're difficult to sort of wrangle, you know what I mean? Like that, they don't want to.
Because they're all getting their periods, the poor things.
At the same time, too, if they're together.
That's right.
It's
and
true.
The bear attacks were constant.
Yeah, the bear attacks had to be rampant.
They must have been coming in waves.
It was wave after wave of bears, and I mean, like, they gave those kids to me because, and I don't mean to like toot my own horn here. Those kids don't want to do anything because they want to be cool.
All I can think of is picture is like the blood crashing through the elevator in The Shining, just like that many 13-year-old girls.
So much period blood just bathing us, you know.
That's all I can think about, like Carrie, just the dumping on her head.
I was thinking of Russell operating a Gatling gun as waves of bears come and attack these poor girls.
Whatever you're thinking, rethink it, bear.
Good, nice to bring it full circle back to actual movies, which is what this podcast is about.
Theater movies. It's not too far away.
This is like the most fun conversation.
Plus, talking about Jews, I mean, hello.
Duh.
Brings it full circle, movies.
Agreed.
Maybe if I had converted to Judaism back in the day, I would be like farther in the industry than what I am today.
Yeah, you'd probably already be a director.
You know, it's not too late. You can hop on board. Sure, and I can expedite things for you. End of the week, we'll have you a full-blown Jew before Hanukkah's over.
An FBJ.
Yeah, an FBJ. Right now, you're just a JBA. You're just a Jewish by association.
But you know what? That's not a bad thing either.
No, it's not at all.
You know what? I'm catching Emily Jones up on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's part of the conversion process. I'm glad you're...
Well, we just saw the episode in which Cheryl's sister wants to marry a Jew, and so she wants the Jew to convert to Christianity. And Larry has no idea what a baptism looks like, so he looks down and sees someone get pushed under the water in a river and goes and stops it.
That's a great one.
And then everybody sort of blames him for, you know, being Jewish and wanting to stop a baptism from happening. And so all the Jews at the thing, the relatives of the Jewish man who is trying to convert, come up to him and say, honestly, what you did, wonderful. A mitzvah on your family. You know, I wish I had the courage. And so then, you know, they talk Larry into it. And they sort of make the point, which I guess is sort of true, that you don't see a lot of Christians converting to Judaism.
No, I can't think of one, but I mean, I've heard a lot of the other way. I think you're right.
That's what I'm saying. That's strange to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe just because Jews are a minority, not to get too deep here, but maybe just because Jews are a minority, so they're more protective. I mean, when you think about I think it's the same way that Israel is one of the smallest countries in the world, yet has one of the most powerful militaries. Jews feel like they constantly have their back against the wall. So I would just imagine that that sentiment leads to not many folks switching teams.
Do you think it's the Shiksa thing? That Jewish men are marrying Christian women and thus Jewish men are converting to sort of satisfy the request of their Christian woman wife?
Could be. And it could be, you know, that feminism is gaining some steam thanks to Shira and all of her cohorts. Men no longer call the shots. So, yeah, the Shiksa appeal is definitely a factor.
Let's be clear.
Uh-oh, Shira, did you hear that?
Yeah, it's definitely not a man's world or anything, Russell.
Well, it is a man's world, but it's a man's world publicly, but privately.
I'm not touching that one.
I don't know. I don't know. You're saying, well, are you talking about the old chestnut of, oh, if two people, if a husband and wife are arguing, the wife is always right type.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I'm talking about when you watch all those like old Game of Thrones and medieval movies and things like this. Uh-huh. You know, it always It always seems to be the queen who sort of has the marionette strings. The king obviously is the public figure making the decisions. Because yep. women are not, quote-unquote, like, well, not even with – remove the quotation marks. They're not respected in the public eye enough. But, you know, especially back in sort of all those movies with the older days, you know, you sort of see a lot of movies in which the wives and the queens are the ones sort of subtly or less subtly manipulating the kings and the men. Do you know what I mean? Am I insane?
No, you're not insane at all.
Obviously, it's a man's world and all of this, and obviously sexism is like a horrible thing that totally runs rampant. I mean, like, I'm not trying to like dissuade any of that. I just mean in terms of relationships generally, you know, in my experience and in the experience of the people that I know, my friends and whatever, the woman does, even if it's privately, albeit privately, holds the power.
What's the line from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Shira?
Something about Windex?
Yeah, something about Windex.
That's the only thing I remember from Big Fat Greek Wedding.
The man is the head and the woman is the neck.
Is the neck, yeah.
Yeah, she turns his head.
Supporting.
You know, so the woman, yeah, supports and then, you know, points his head in the right direction and then, you know.
Vardalos, you genius.
Yeah.
She certainly is.
But so that's all I was trying to – I wasn't trying to get at anything deeper or more nefarious than that.
Ooh, nefarious.
See that you don't.
Yes, ma'am. You see what I'm saying? Just that.
Yes. It worked.
Your womanly ways have manipulated my sensibilities. So if you go to a Mendoza show, that's the type of thing that you can expect.
That's the kind of humor you get, yeah.
some good, feminist propaganda. Lots of that.
Yeah, we're definitely into that.
You'll go thinking one way about the world. You'll think like, oh, penises are awesome. And then you'll leave and you'll think, well, maybe they're still awesome, but they don't have any power.
What?
That's the sequence.
That's the sequence.
Penises are awesome.
I mean, I know from doing this show, and Yeshua, I'm not trying to make anything awkward here. Shira has talked about the awesome power of penises on a number of occasions on the show.
There's dong power. Everyone knows that. That's why I get excited when I see dongs in movies, not because I like to look at them.
Obviously, who would?
No one.
Dong is an ugly looking thing.
They're flappy,
it's an angry,
and
ugly,
weird, and occasionally circumcised, and it's strange.
I would say, wait, occasionally circumcised?
Well, I mean, I'm just speaking for like the world at large.
I would say that circumcised makes up the majority. No,
yeah,
I do
it does.
I do think that nowadays that is a fact.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I do think that nowadays that is a fact. I just didn't want to make our uncircumcised listeners feel alienated.
Nothing wrong with that turtleneck.
That's right.
Nothing wrong at all.
Nothing wrong with the turtleneck.
No problem, guys.
Yeah, keep it clean down there and don't worry about it.
Yeah, you pull it back and you scrub and it's all the same.
Exactly. Right. I have to do the same thing. We all have folds. We all have folds that we need to clean.
Not circumcised, people.
Sure.
Shira took it like just like that one step. That's what you can expect at the final Mendoza show at 10 p.m.
That's exactly right.
Shira's going to take it one step farther than what you might be comfortable with.
is always going to be true.
But you know what? That's the majesty of a Mendoza show, and that's the majesty of the Al Jazeera video network.
That is 100% true.
As they terroristly attack your sensibilities.
We will attack your funny bone relessly like a terrorist.
Is the Camel Toe video out, by the way?
What?
Is the Camel Toe video out?
No, we're still editing it.
Dog.
It's terrible. We're awful. I know.
Al Jazeera has put out more videos since you first advertised that.
There's no question. It was, listen, it'll be up before the end of the year. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
How am I supposed to do my new bits about how Al Jazeera is racist against Middle Eastern people? how am I supposed to drop my new totally inaccurate jokes unless the camel toe video comes out?
You're just gonna have to be patient, and now you'll get to think of even more. Think of it that way.
I mean, I have all this great material about how you're gonna do a video about sandy vaginas.
We're not doing that. You're turning us into a monster. You're giving us a monster reputation.
I had so many other things.
I'm sure you'll live up to it. Don't worry.
Most likely.
Some good desert. Something about the desert.
Yeah, good one.
I was going to say women love dessert, but then desert. There's like a correlation. Nice.
That's a nice one.
Does that defend enough people to work?
I
love dessert.
Yes.
Who doesn't like dessert? And also, who doesn't like the desert? That's a sketch.
That's your whole bit. You should just go up on stage on an open mic.
Who
say
loves,
that, drop the mic and leave.
Who loves dessert, people? Am I right? And also, how many people that love dessert also love the desert? Everybody with me? Who loves dessert that lives in the desert? Probably everybody. Am I right? They're all so sandy and dry and hot.
Oh, my goodness. You are...
Hold on, Leighton. Don't talk for a minute. Just let people think it's a think
let
piece.
Let it wash over
it's
you.
A
yeah,
think
it's
piece.
A think, it is a think piece.
Do you get it, though? Do you get it? Do you get it?
I got it.
We get it.
Desert. Dessert.
I've definitely.
I'm Russell H. Film on Twitter and Instagram and Vine and Letterboxd. This has been a delightful show. For those of you that are still listening, I apologize for all of that. But then again, I don't, because it's been a delightful conversation, and I've loved having Shira and her brother Josh Selkovitz on the show. Thank you, Selkovi.
Thanks so much for letting me be a part of this, guys. I really had a lot of fun.
You know what? It was fun having you. And Shira, as always.
As always, it's my favorite place to be.
Leighton, you're a fabulous man and a wonderful human being and a gem. Don't let anyone tell you
Thank you. I definitely won't.
So for Shira, for Josh, a.k.a. Yeshwe.
Yeah, yeah.
Who invented hip-hop. For Leighton Gordon. And for myself, Russell Hainline, this has been the Long and Late Movie Show. Good night, and well done, Bang Johnny.
Good night, everyone.
I love bad bitches. That's my fucking problem.
All right, when does this thing go live?
Probably tonight.
Right now.
Oh, cool.
Ice Cube's a pimp.
No,
those balls. Those are balls.
That was adorable.
Mahalo, motherfuckers.
I will plug your butt. I'm like a pedophile lesbian.
Spring break.
Sour Patch Quiz.